This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Phaedra Boynodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization with which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 42, Physiotherapy Games. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Michael Rowe here at another exciting episode of GamesAtWork.biz. This week, hanging out in kind of crappy weather here in North Carolina. But we got a really exciting show, so I'm going to toss it quickly over to you, Michael Martin.
All right, I'm catching it over here in Budapest, Hungary. So from the Eastern European headquarters, Central European headquarters of the GamesAtWork.biz media empire. And we're delighted, absolutely delighted to have Marilyn Lopez, who is a physiotherapist, on the line with us today, along with her husband and longtime listener to various podcasts of ours, Alexis Biller. They're both coming to us from the UAE. So all welcome, right, guys.
Thank you very much for inviting us as well. It's a pleasure for me.
And Michael, it's a real honor to finally be on the program.
Yes, you've been providing us with tons of great feeds
material
links over the years, and commentary and smart remarks. Criticism, which is all good. We want that. We want feedback from people, and it's great to actually have you on the show too. And this promises to be really, really exciting. And so tell us a little bit about yourself, Marilyn.
So like you said, I'm a physiotherapist. I specialize very quickly to children because, well, it's where you have most of fun. You start and you have just to play all day long with them, and it actually work. So it's brilliant. So I'm specialized in kids and women's health, and so I studied in France, and I worked 2 years in a hospital. And then I changed to London for 2 years as well. And now I'm in the UAE working for Cure Rehabilitation, which is a center we spread all around Dubai. And what we want to achieve is to have a lot of Westerners, experts in rehabilitation, to work as a team and to bring the most research on and the most advanced research in rehabilitation. So very exciting center and very exciting location to be in. And so the reason why I also excited to talk to you guys is that I'm using quite a lot of technology for my work.
I think any work where you get to play all day has got to be awesome, and combine that with the technology you're going to talk about, it's just going to be loads and loads of fun.
Oh, yes.
So tell us about, you say you do a lot of work with children. What type of therapy do you work with them on, and for what types of injuries or other issues that they might be suffering from?
So I work right now. I had a lot of neurologic cases, so a lot of cerebral palsy, hemiplegia, and I had a lot of head injuries and concussion as well, anoxia. But also I'm specialized in...
So I'm going to jump in there. Anoxia, you're going to have to explain what that is.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Well, it's another type of brain injuries when the brain has been lacking of oxygen for a period of time, and you have damages. And it's
like a near-drowning experience or something like that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Oxygen deprivation can occur in all sorts of situations, and near drowning, or it could be under compression, so a car accident is another example.
No, it's mainly drowning. Car accidents is more concussion. You have more concussion. Well,
yeah, so,
that's
so,
pretty
so
exciting.
The children
I'm sorry about
this.
That, but that's well, that's life.
Yeah.
but actually, for anoxia and cerebral palsy, I use quite a lot of general games. And I used to use Wii, for example, because with brain injuries, you can have a lot of different symptoms. And one of them could be altered walking gait and apraxia. Apraxia is when you forgot how to use things.
Okay.
Like a pen or how to tie your shoes or a few things like that. And I use quite a lot of video to relearn basic stuff and how to start using.
So you were saying a little bit about the walking gait, right? So how
yes.
do you measure or sense the walking gait? What sort of things do you use to do that?
So most of the time, what we can find is that they have tendency to push in one side, so they get to be more on the left, for example, and neglect a little bit to the right. But most of the time, they push where they are weak. They have general left weakness, and this is where they will push. So, if you are pushing towards where you are weak, you are more likely to fall very often, and this is what happened. By using the Wii, more exactly the balance board, we want to normalize the balance, which is to center the balance. Because sadly, most of the time, brain injuries occur more on teenagers and young adults. It's quite difficult to get them to be involved in their rehabilitation. And by using the game, we can actually make them like what their own rehabilitation. That's also the reason why we are using quite a lot of the games.
Just wanted to jump in here. I was thinking about that because actually, in honor of the show this morning, I did 30 minutes on the Wii myself doing the step exercise.
That's very good.
Yeah, and one of the things that I always find is that there's a I don't even remember what they call it, but there's like a test to do. There's like a basic body test, and then you do the exercises.
Yes.
And one of the basic body tests is, as you're describing, the balance, right? You know, how centered are you? And I was wondering, is there an appropriate plus or minus range of balance that is maybe you're not 100% on balance, but you don't have a clinical issue? Because I broke my foot years ago, and ever since then, I actually favor my right side ever so slightly on that balance test. I've noticed it's like 49.7 and 50.3 or something like that. And should I worry about that?
So what?
Yes. This is a clinical diagnosis.
I didn't want to say that, but yes, it can occur that you can start to have a knee problem, for example, or a hip problem in the next future. So actually, working on that and trying to reset your balance could help preventive kind of pain. Also, the thing is, we even without an injury, we all have imbalance issue, and this is because we have quite nowadays we can most of the people have quite a weak core muscle.
Right.
And the fact that we are also right or left-handed will always have a side that we favor more than the other one. And actually having a weak core muscle will bring us to have a more tendency to be more on one side than on the other. Why is that important to be centered? Is because our body is aligned to put the pressure on your hips and on your knee quite equally. It's like the hips is like one arc and the knees are like two arcs.
Yep.
If you don't put the weight straight in the center, you will destroy this arc. But if it's straight in the middle, it can actually put more. You can put a little bit more weight. I am not telling you to gain more weight. If that's not
no,
a good
I don't
thing.
Have a problem with that.
I come across that when I use the Marilyn's WeFit. Because it tells me my weight's changed drastically since the last time. And it's because I'm using her profile.
So you could really have a game there to kind of see if you can get the profile to be the same. No, that's probably not a good idea.
That's probably not a good idea. So Marilyn, can you tell us how the Wii is really helping your patients? In what ways are you seeing a difference by using the Wii for this as a game as opposed to things you were doing before you started? How's it improving the outcomes for your patients?
Well, the very, very first thing that make the improvement is actually they're more... Well, they enjoy even more their rehabilitation, and I must admit, it's quite difficult to... Well, nobody wants really to work out and to exercise, so making it fun, it's improved quite a lot. So we have more motivation by using the game, that's for sure. Why the Wii and why the balance board are more exactly is that we had quite a lot of problem with proprioception and balance. Okay, my husband is making face when I'm saying proprioception because
well, I was going to ask it.
Proprioception. All right, so proprioception is the perception of, it comes from the Latin proprius, who is our own.
Mm-hmm.
It's individual, proprius, our own, and perception, which is sense, so it's our own sense. It's a way to, basically the proprioception is the sense of knowing where is every single part of your body in space.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So you don't have to look at your hand to know where exactly your hand is, for example. This is proprioception. So you have a proprioceptor, so receptor of this kind of sense in your muscle and in your joint. And most of the time, when there's an injury occurs, or it could be neurologic, or it could be a sprain, or even just a shock on your muscle. Your proprioception is altered, your proprioceptor are altered, and then you can start to have an imbalance just like that. And working with a balance board makes you, you start having your perception of your own again. You have to feel where you put your weight. You have to feel where you put exactly your feet and positioning. And with a remote, you have also where you put your hand. Mm-hmm. So actually, we are rehabilitating. We are re-educating the whole proprioception.
Yes. It sounds to me, Marilyn, the way you're explaining it is a way of using the Wii for biofeedback, so that the person whose sense of self, proprioception, is off because of an injury or because of a muscle problem or a sprain, like you said, can learn from that biofeedback from the game itself what's right and begin to feel what's right and establish that muscle memory again. Is that a good way
exactly
to...
Exactly that.
Yeah, okay. I was thinking along the same point, Michael. And when you think about any type of complex engineering system where you have redundant systems or fallback systems, you actually have to engage them when a system fails. And when you talk about the human body as a system of systems or an extremely complex engineering system. If one of those senses, in this case the sense of self-position, is somehow altered, as you described, Marilyn, then you have to engage a fallback system to kind of reestablish the appropriate movement or the appropriate sense of self in space. And it sounds like you're really kind of, and I'll get really techno-geek for a second, you're kind of, you know, booting up that other system and causing it to offset and compensate for potentially the neurological damage that you're describing. Is that a good way
exactly.
of looking at it?
It's exactly that. The other thing I saw where the Kinect works, the Wii and the Kinect, but I have more the image of a Kinect in my mind is in stroke. Mm. In stroke, you have one of the symptoms, not on all the strokes, but a few of them will have a problem we called hemineglect. So either they neglect a whole part of their body, mm-hmm. or it's a whole part of their space. So, for example, they will neglect all the right side of their environment. For the body, it's quite an issue because in the very early stage, they can call the nurse to be, and they are quite in a distress position, and they are persuaded that there's another body in their bed. They wake up and they will call to somebody because they are...
So the brain is sensing that there's something there that's actually them, but because they've neglected that part of themselves, they're projecting it to be something else? Is that the thought?
Yes, exactly. They can even take their hand and believe that it's someone else's hand.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about this as you were describing it and thinking of, you know, the latest cool gadget, right, is Google Glass, right? And imagining that, you know, given that that's actually running a version of Android, based off of stuff I read this morning, I can imagine people developing stuff that use the sensors in Google Glass to help augment the vision to describe things that they might be neglecting so that they get the almost instantaneous feedback while they're, say, walking down the street, and you tend to be there's a reality that if you put a swimmer in the middle of the ocean and tell them to mm-hmm. swim towards land, they tend to swim in large circles because of I think it's the inner ear and the rotation of the earth and a couple other things. You think you're swimming straight, but you tend to swim in these very large circles.
The ear is one of our senses who permits to balance us, but also to locate us through space. And we used to forget about the fact that just hearing stuff make us actually aware about our environment. One of the reasons why the old people who had a problem with falls used to walk very very close to a wall is because actually they can they can locate themselves. It's like a bat. Bats use the same system as, but in more sophisticated way that we are doing. We are doing it without realizing it. Uh-huh. And sadly, we tend to use quite a lot of loud sounds, and we are actually everything that we use is nowadays is more about the eyes. It's no longer about the ear. And maybe we are overusing our eyes' sense. That's why I prefer the games where you have over sense in action, uh-huh. like the Wii, like the, well, other things. But for the Google Glass, one thing I really, really want to try, I haven't tried it yet, is on... people who had lost their limb and had what we called phantom limb syndromes. So they feel their hand that they lost, for example, but they have over feel of that of it. So it could be pain. It could be
Right, phantom pain, or something
phantom
that's not there.
Pain,
yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And one way we actually work on that is using a mirror box. So we put the mirror box is making them believe that their left hand is in fact their right hand. They see in a mirror close to where their hand should be, for example, we put the rest of the limb inside the box and there's a mirror on the side, so it shows the other hand. And there's a lot of people describing some pain where they have a clench. And they can feel their fingers go through the palm of their hand. And this is actually the pain they feel in their phantom limb. And being capable to actually see, to make their brain believe that they have their right hand. But in fact, it's the left hand. And they can move it and actually open their punch. Had relieved their pain. I don't know if you still follow me.
Yes, yeah. So by basically, again, you're kind of retraining the mind to allow them to realize things so that they can, I guess, kind of, again, reset that pattern so they don't feel the phantom limb as much. Is that a good assessment?
Yes, yes, it's exactly that. And so why I want to use the Google Glass is, well, by wearing the Google Glass, they could the Google Glass could recreate the look of their hand that yep. they have lost. And they could do exactly the same. We could maybe send an input where we will say, open your hand, and then they will see the hand moving. And the kind of pain they have was more a spasm or this closed fist, like I was describing before, they could actually release them, stretch their hand, or even... if I have a burn kind of sensation, mm-hmm. sometimes looking at the skin that is completely free of Mm-hmm. Any burn could actually relieve their pain.
So I get it now. It's the mirror box or the Google Glass version of this is it would give them the ability to look at their phantom limb, so their leg, their yes. arm, which really isn't there. They could see it as if it were and that it's normal, and it kind of lets the mind finish the process. It almost sounds like a grieving process, right? You can extend the hand that's not there and stretch it so that it's not closed as a clenched fist anymore. Or you see the leg is not burned. It's fine. And your brain goes, okay, it's okay, and can let yeah. it go. That,
yes,
that is
exactly.
so incredibly cool. That is really, really cool.
Yeah.
And it's not and just... So I was just going to say, it's not just if you want fully abled bodies where this game has been shown to work. For fun, you could do it at home or at work, where you hide your real limb, your hand, your arm, behind a board and put a false but similarly quite similar limb, maybe with the same shirt on it, and you can actually fool your brain into believing.
Well, you have to. The thing is that you have to fool it by not only looking at it but touching it.
Right.
So basically, you have someone touching the false hand at the same time they are touching the real one, but the real one is hidden of their sight. And if someone comes with a hammer and just
don't even
smash the smash fence, no ow 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 ow
the first reaction is to go to bring the limbs away.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you just hope that they struck the false limb.
Or Michaels.
Otherwise it's not so funny.
Or Michaels, because you know it was you know we were one arm was Michaels, one was mine, and we hit Michaels.
No. I was actually thinking I could play rock, paper, scissors with myself this way, and you know, that way I might win.
I suppose there's another side to this which is you could recreate these sensations across physical divides. So because one Michael happens to be in Hungary and another Michael happens to be in the US, maybe you could play this game and make the other one make believe that the limb is actually being struck that isn't close to them and fear it.
Yeah, it's almost like what is it like quantum teleportation.
there are industries that would pay a lot for this kind of technology.
Yeah, I bet there are. So
this is really cool. So Michael, let me jump in because there's a couple of other things that Marilyn you brought up that I wanted to touch
yep.
on. You were mm-hmm. using the examples of the Kinect and you're using examples of the Wii, and my mind was jumping to you know the balance board and standard Wii capabilities, you know, or Dance Dance Revolution, you know, kind of standard games. Wii Sports. Do you find that you're using very much standard entertainment-driven or slightly health-driven apps for what you're doing with your clients and your patients? Or are you developing something, or maybe Alexis is developing something, I don't know, something custom that you're using?
Oh, can you try to rephrase that? I'm
sure.
Not sure. I think I understood, but I'm not sure. So if you could just...
I'll make it easier. So there are standard games that are available.
Kind of out of the box.
That are out of the box that you can just turn on a Wii and it's right there. The balancing app, you know, on the board is right there. Are you mm-hmm. using anything where you or someone for you has created a custom developed software that is really attuned to the needs of physiotherapists?
So most of the time I use standard games mm-hmm. to work with them. But
there's an advantage of that because they can continue their treatment at home more easily.
Well, the real advantage of that is that it's less costly than rehabilitation system. We have a quite advanced rehabilitation systems before the Wii and the Wii Balance Board was in the market. We were already using a balance board with games, but not the same games. Like the game we were having was it's a little bit like the balance board, but a little bit more sensitive, And well, you didn't saw that in the games, because the games we had was very, very basic and very, very boring, I must admit. Like, for example, just a car where you have to balance on the right and the left, or a cat who have to take all the mice who fall down for a reason, or...
probably not grumpy cat, though.
A bear who, a little teddy bear who have to grab all the fruit. And why the fruit, I don't know. And normally it's more
honey
or, but I think they want to be healthy or I don't know.
Subliminal messages to eat your vegetables and eat your allotted daily recommended amount of fruit.
Yes, it's five fruits and vegetables recommended per day. Yes,
that's
exactly.
Right. but what happens with fruit ninja? I mean, fruit ninja, you just chop them up and you don't eat them. So anyway.
we should make it a real game.
That's true. But well, on the game spots, sometimes you have scenarios that are really, really bizarre. Like, for example, you are plumbers and you have to eat a silly mushroom to grow up to attack a bad guy with a turtle on his back to save a princess on a castle. Come on. What is that scenario?
That makes tons of sense. I do that every day.
It's a classic game.
It's like work. You know, it's like that's a PowerPoint.
Yes. Well, for my part, I see the ironic part of sometimes the games is, for my thesis, my last year thesis, I use this sophisticated balance board to learn how to move from a sitting position to another sitting position for a tetraplegic. A partial tetraplegic. So he had some capabilities and basically, when you have to learn someone who has lost the capacity of his legs to jump from one seat to wheelchair.
One quick follow up for you, Marilyn, on this too. So I you actually went the other direction. I was thinking. So you've gone from a custom application like this custom balance board with the bear and the honey, and you've gone to the Wii, which is available commercially.
That makes a lot of sense because custom is where you start, and then stuff becomes available that's cheaper, more entertaining, that provides some of the same benefits. So that's how you then go to off the shelf, right?
Yep, and less expensive. Yep. So the thing I was going to ask is, do you ever assign your patients homework such as, you need to go and play on the Wii, so that they go to their parents and say, oh, mom, I need to buy a Wii to do my physiotherapy? Has that happened?
It did happen, actually. It did happen. And I have a case of a little boy with a cerebral palsy, we trained him on the Wii. He had a stand, and he tried to walk. The jogging in the Wii Fit?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So he was doing the jogging, but instead of running, he was just walking. But actually, he tried to walk in a quite a centered manner, and his the thing is, we have to help him to bring his feet up and down, and he had to have a hand support. But actually, his father was very, very involved in his treatment. And he recreated in his home custom support for his son. And he was, while his son was rocking in Wii Fit, he was bringing his legs up and down. And it was quite funny. And it's one of the things they can do at home, and they enjoy. So perfect. Yeah. I noticed that the games really, really help with boosting the resilience, really.
That's just awesome. And I know we're getting really close to time, and I wanted to just jump in with one more question, because I know we can probably go on for another couple hours, and this is just incredibly fascinating. One of the things that we talked about before the show started was some work that you've been doing with additional sensors that are not specific games. And I just want to hit on that very briefly, because I know when we talk about the larger technology aspect in this space, I mean, there are some pretty innovative things going on there and stuff coming down, coming out over time. So could you talk a little bit about the additional type sensors?
Oh, yes. So these sensors are quite new in the market. And not only they are quite sensitive, but they're also very flexible. So we use it to put it in the shoes. We use it also to put in inside the prosthesis to make sure to see where the weight and balance is in the limb, and to try to avoid over pressure pain. We use it as well to put underneath the
car seat or chair.
Yes, on top of a wheelchair to also avoid any sore pressure.
And are these like constantly transmitting, or do you have to then plug them in later to get the data off them, or how does this stuff work? Is it like a definite feedback loop?
In fact, you have two systems. There's one with Wi-Fi, so it's instant retransmission.
Cool.
And by the way, it's even less than a second. So you're walking, and every I think is they have data every quarter of. I don't remember. I think it's 10 milliseconds.
Wow.
Every data, 10 milliseconds. So you have a real-time pressure. So you have that, but you can also have a data recorder that you put with a sensor, and you go jogging, and you come back, and you just plug the data recorder, and you have all the pressure you put on your jogging throughout all your journey.
Wow.
So most of the time we do that because with fatigue, we have this tendency to be more on one side than the other.
Yep.
So we have to fatigue the body first to see what's the problem. So this is more for athletes.
Well, it's interesting. I've been playing with an app on my iPhone for some time now called Moves. It's a Moves app, and it tracks all your walking during the day and ties that to location data, with the goal, they say you should do at least 10,000 steps a day, right? And so it tracks your steps, it shows you where you've been, it kind of gives you a history of your day from a movement perspective. And then in a similar vein, recently picked up, Garmin has a watch that I use when I go swimming, that actually tracks swim strokes, what stroke are you doing, speed of the stroke, the number of laps, et cetera. So there's all this self-quantification data that can be used to improve people's health and fitness. But as you're using it also in your practice, not just general health, but very specific targeted rehabilitation type health. Very cool stuff.
With all the games that is available, we should be fit and healthy, but well.
But that's not the case.
Hopefully, with the research which was put into the likes of the Olympic Games,
yes,
you'll see a lot more of these exciting but also bleeding edge capabilities to monitor how people are performing. And in the athletes, it's to seek that extra 2-3% of performance. But you could probably create devices which are more commercially viable to seed out into the wider population to help them achieve dramatically more, because they start off from a foundation which maybe they've had an injury that is specific to them, and you can tailor it for their needs.
Well, I can just imagine, you know, we had all the historical problems with the Tour de France, right? With, you know, blood transfusions and other things that were the bad side. But mm-hmm. I can just imagine a sensor that a high-performance bike athlete would have that would actually hook up onto a vein and have the blood flowing through it and measuring blood oxygen levels in real time to help them improve their breathing.
Well, blood oxygen level, we already have something like that. You just plug it in your earlobe, and you can have a real time level of your oxygen. It's called an oxygenometer, and it's quite an old device. I'm sorry to tell you that,
that's okay. That's great. see what happens. I'm not a Tour de France rider.
No, but you could be, and that could be some metrics that get transmitted on the Tour's website. You know, yeah. Who's your favorite bicyclist? What are they doing? What I was thinking of, Alexis may or may not know this, but I when I was in the U.S., I was studying to become a ninja. And I was going through martial arts classes at the same dojo.
A fruit ninja? No, not a fruit ninja. A real ninja.
Not a fruit ninja. A real ninja. You watch it. I'm going to come after you. But I can imagine where for ninja training and techniques, good kamae, good body stance, the appropriate moves, or you know, even I'll say like ballroom dancing, the same kinds of things that you're describing, Marilyn, could be used between a Kinect. Could be used with wearable devices. I wear Jawbone up, you know, so similar to Michael, I'm doing some of the self-quantification stuff too. And you could then see how your body moves in space and position it appropriately because everyone's body is different.
Yep.
But there are, you know, there are ways to do a foxtrot. There are ways to do, you know, an arm lock or a leg lock or to have a good stance. And for each body and body type, it's a little different. So I could see the same thing you're talking about. Wouldn't that be great? So not Olympic athlete level, but and not getting 2%, you know, like Alexis, you're saying that last bit, but get 50%, you know,
yeah, quick. 50% better, and I'd almost be a couch potato.
The other thing I suppose to remember is sometimes it's not about getting you to do something new better, but actually helping you avoid doing bad things.
Yes.
In a repetitive manner.
Yes.
You're talking about the cyclists in the Tour de France. One of the amazing stories to come out from all this optimization for the athletes was the UK team set themselves certain targets. They did their research. And one of the big changes they did was change their sleeping behavior.
Yes.
So that they would sleep more closer to the venues where they were, knew where they were going to start. They even had sent team members to prepare the sleeping quarters. So it was perfect. They had sleeping spaces on the buses for when they were transporting their athletes. Simple. But you know what? If you monitor the behavior, you can spot where some fallacies, some false pretenses or poor behaviors are taking place. It doesn't have to be necessarily in athletics. Here it was sleeping. There are lots of ways that you can just tease people into avoiding bad behavior. And we talked about the fruit before. If showing someone some fruit means that they're going to eat more fruit, superb, right?
Absolutely.
Again, spotting when they're starting to misbehave and try to coax them into better behavior.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I think about that. And one of the things I've been doing for a couple of years now is sleep monitoring and, you know, getting... I can tell you that last night I slept 8.2 hours, which was awesome. And
8.2 is very important.
Yes.
And it's more than the deceased Margaret Thatcher would have approved of.
Right, because, you know, I should be working.
Well, she wasn't the origin of the quote, "You can sleep when you're dead," was she?
Actually, I think it was Weird Al, and he said, I'll be mellow when I'm dead.
Oh, okay.
Well, I know this has been unbelievably fantastic, and we could, as I said, we could probably go for another hour But we are right past our end time, and I wanted to make sure that we maybe get a couple of pointers to some of the work that Marilyn, you've been doing, or Alexis, even yourself, and throw those into our show notes for people. I know we've got the link to your practice and a couple other things that we'll include in the show notes. But what do you, just real quick, what do you see as kind of the, if you looked out 10 years from now, what do you think is the most exciting things that will change using gaming technology in improvement of physiotherapy?
Oh, wow. I have a lot of tech dreams, I must admit. I use quite a lot of kinesio taping. I don't know if you have seen in the Olympic Games all those athletes with tapes on them, colorful tapes, blue, red.
Sometimes the tennis stars, you see them all taped up before a game or during a game.
And most of the time is to bring them to a very good posture and a very good coordination. What I would love to do is incorporate a sensor to that and bringing a little bit more tension in real time in those tapes to bring them to the optimal movement.
Oh,
so I would love to see that. Also, I was talking about those sensors we are using for very flexible sensor we are using on the shoes to make insole and on the limb. I see that in the games to be
More accurate data collection in the game to
exactly.
Really provide that feedback?
Yes, exactly. For example, in martial arts games, you'd be capable to know if you eat correctly with the right posture, the right strength as well. I would love to see that. And for the Google Eyeglass, I would really love if I could incorporate a very smooth ear system. So not only you can visualize another environment, but also hear another environment.
Oh, yeah.
As I said before, the ear is really, really important to not only to balance, but also to locate ourselves in the environment. So it could be even disturbing. We could use disturbing sound for us to readapt the other sense. So I would love to see that coming soon.
Yeah, and you just hit on something. There was a game that came out on the I think it was a web game, an iPhone, iPad game a couple of months ago that was pretty much auditory. You just had headphones on, and the screen was black, and the whole thing was. And I'll try to find it and put it in the show notes. But it was a while back, and it was a game of just auditory senses, and you had to do reactions to the sound. I need to look that one up, that's really cool.
I would love to see that.
The one I think you were talking. Oh no, I deleted it already off my machine too because I played it once. Yeah.
No, there was the scary one. There was the scary one, but yeah.
All right, but anyway, the games are a fantastic media to use for rehabilitation. Not only it motivates, but also it can boost resilience with a point system.
Yep.
Point system could be even used on the real time in the real life. For example, every time I can do this thing, I have 5 points. Yay! And actually, it can help get better. It really improve and boost resilience. By the way, there's very inspiring talk about how the games could do that from a TED talk from Jane McGonigal.
Yes, we've talked about that a lot on the show.
we love her.
Actually had a chance to meet her last year about this time. So very cool stuff.
I love her talk about how the game can give you 10 extra years of life.
Yeah.
Love it.
Alexis, from your perspective, any interesting developments that you'd like to see?
I think that I could probably, if I was going to keep it down to two, okay. I'd give one input and one output example. So you had about 10 years ago, the likes of Jaguar cars introduced sensors to help avoid, predict accidents. And then we've seen other manufacturers create things since then. I'd love to see a more personalized environment, which would enable people who had maybe they'd had a stroke, and referring back to what Marilyn mentioned earlier, if they had a sphere of vision which was weaker for them, that maybe this could give them some input, maybe sensory through sound, just to warn them of something in that sphere which is weaker for them. So it could be a Google Glass, it could be a heads-up display of other form that, again, just augments their lives, enables them to maybe drive when maybe they wouldn't normally. Using current technologies.
Almost like I had a loaner car a couple of weeks ago. I had to take my car in for some maintenance, and it had sensors on the turn signal that would check the blind spot and give me a noise and a light indicating if somebody was in my blind spot before I turned lanes, but actually indeed. At a sensor level, at a personal level.
Personal level, so it knows about your varied abilities, disabilities, yep. whatever it might be, the conditions that are relevant for that individual, and would change, obviously, the driving setup accordingly. The other one, though, is more about user input. You've got something coming to the market next month they're shipping called Leap Motion. And I've been tracking this for over a year now. I think it's incredible technology. Think of the Kinect, but at an order of detail that will be able to pick up individual fingers for sure, but a pencil between your fingers,
oh, cool.
and be able to calibrate that in space. And if that could be tailored to individuals so that their different behaviors during the day, so maybe in the morning they're more spirited, maybe less shakes in their hands, that it could understand an individual's behavior. Now, you could see how for people with disabilities, this could give them a way of interfacing with a computer. But even what we might deem fully able bodies will change throughout their life, clearly. But also in a day, it can be different in the morning or evening. It could be a difference of before eating, after eating, before drinking or after drinking. And it could just provide that stability and a learning system that is personal to the individual. And I think that's something which is going to be in our world sooner rather than later.
And you said Leap Motion as in elite gaming?
No, Leap as in a big jump.
Ah, Leap. Okay, great. Very cool. Very cool.
I can provide you a lot more information on that.
Yeah, if you could drop us a link, we'll put that in the show notes too, so that everybody else can read up on it.
I hope to be bringing the first one into the UAE in a month's time.
Awesome. Very cool. Very cool. Michael, we're gonna wrap it now. Do you have any final thought you want to throw on the table here?
Other than the fact that this has been a fantastic show, I do not.
Excellent. Same here. I want to thank you both for being willing to join the show this week. This has been exciting and awesome, and I'm so stoked because there's a couple of things that I've been doing in my day job around sensors, which is why I really wanted to hit the one on the pressure sensors so that I can have some more research that I need to do. Really appreciate your time and joining us today. This has been very exciting.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
And I think you can expect a prescription for at least another few 2-3 hours of Wii Sports coming your way soon.
Absolutely. I need to get that balance.
It's really, really important.
Yep. It always yells at me. It always yells at me. Well, thank you very much. And for those of you listening, if you want to follow us, we are available on every single social media that we know of. Well, probably not all of them, but you can follow us on Facebook at Games at Work Biz, on Google Plus, on Twitter. At games@work_biz, or at our website at www.gamesatwork.biz, or any of our co-hosts. Michael, where can they follow you?
Well, they can follow me at gamesatwork.biz. That's the best place to find me. But I'm also tweeting at Carolina Big Blue. And we've got Phaedra, who unfortunately couldn't join us today,
yep,
who is at Innovate Game as well. So lots of places to find us and connect. And you can find this podcast wherever nice podcasts are found.
And I'm MichaelRose01 on Twitter. So thank you all. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Yep, sounds great. Bye.
Merci, Merci Michel.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and we'd like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.